السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. جزاكم الله خير again for everyone for coming for this important event. Inshallah, the program of the event will be as follows. We'll start off with the historical discussion of Bayt al-Maqdis, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam that lived in that particular area and propagated the true deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that particular area. Once we have covered this, the next speaker will go on to discussing the events relating to Al-Quds in the lifetime and following the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Muslimin first entered Bayt al-Maqdis and the events that followed thereafter. After this, we'll discuss the timeline pertaining to Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. It's a very interesting time in which for 88 years, the Crusaders essentially took hold of Bayt al-Maqdis and how it was returned back to the Muslimin. And then thereafter, we'll talk about the modern era, perhaps 1948 onwards, for us to have some idea or semblance of what actually took place in that particular land. Inshallah, so this is the general format of today. And we'll start off by discussing, as we have mentioned, Al-Ardul Muqaddasa, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in Al-Quran Al-Kareem. So the first point that we need to go way back, and this is a very important question in relation to who was or who were the first people in that particular land of Jerusalem. In that particular land, who are the first people? Why is this an important question? It's because a lot of people would make claim to that land, although I don't think this is a very good argument to begin with, because if that was the case, we'd have to all forfeit our lands and our houses to the Native Americans. So things change over time, but nonetheless, it's still an important question, because when a lot of the people, especially in the West Bank, where they are annexing the land in violation of international law, basically a person who's of Jewish ancestry or claiming to be of Jewish ancestry would claim that they have a right to the land under the law of the right of return, which is an apartheid law, and they would usurp the lands and the houses of the Palestinians who live there. So the important question is, who were the first people or peoples that lived in that particular land? Now, there were some nomadic tribes which existed prior to this point, but we won't start at that point because for the purposes of this discussion, it isn't too relevant. But there were some tribes which existed in that region. When we go back around 3500 BC, when we go back to around 300 or 3500 BC, this is essentially where we get the first people documented in that region, and they are known as the Canaanites. They are called the Canaanites. And now, when it comes to the Canaanites, what's important to note about them is what type of people were they? And the understanding is that they were Semitic people. Now, the question then becomes, what is a Semitic person? Because a person, especially in today's time, you often hear this term about certain individuals labeling others as anti-Semitic. So therefore, the question needs to be answered, what is a Semite or what is a Semitic person? And for this, we need to go way back to Nuh alayhi salam. Because Nuh alayhi salam, as we know, he made a dua, قَالَ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلِى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. Nuh alayhi salam, he used his dua after giving da'wah for 950 years, and then he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have no disbelieving inhabitant left on the earth. Nuh alayhi salam, he had a son, and in the anglicized name, or from the name from the, let's say, Hebrew perspective, is Shem. In Arabic, his name is Sam, and that's where we get the name Semite. So the people of Canaan, the Canaanites, were descendants of Sam. They were basically descendants of Nuh alayhi salam. So this is very important for the purposes of this discussion. Now, when we go a little bit further, then we need to ask, okay, what happened next? What was the sequence of scholars, or not scholars again, but prophets which followed? And to this point, we go to none other than our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we know, he had two sons, and his two sons were Ismail and Ishaq, as we know. Every Muslim knows this. In fact, even people of other traditions would know that these are the two sons of Ibrahim. And now when we go into the story of Ibrahim and how he ended up in Bayt al-Maqdis, first off, before discussing this, what was the first house established for worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And who established it? Was it Al-Aqsa or was it Al-Ka'bah? And what is the proof of that? The Quran itself. Inna awwal an-nas wudi'a, inna awwal bayti wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi-Bakkata mubarakah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it explicitly clear that the first house which was built for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reverence or his remembrance was Al-Ka'bah. In another narration that's mentioned by Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he actually asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that what was the first house established? And the Prophet ﷺ responds by saying, Masjid al-Haram. This is the Haram, which is where the Kaaba is contained. And Abu Dharr actually goes further. And then he goes on to ask the Prophet ﷺ, what came next? And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, Baytul Maqdis. And thereafter he asks another question, where he says, Kam kana baynahuma? What was the time frame between the first masjid established and the second masjid established? And the Prophet ﷺ responds by saying, أَرْبَعُونَ عَامًا. He says, 40 years. Which tells us that the first house established was the Kaaba. And 40 years later, then Baytul Maqdis was established. Now on this point, there's some discussion. The majority of the scholars, they say that the first one to raise the foundations of the Kaaba was Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is the predominant opinion. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. The first one to raise the foundations of the Kaaba was Ibrahim and Ismail. But there's some discussion, some scholars, they say it was Adam alayhi salam. Nonetheless, the predominant opinion is that it was Ibrahim. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba with Ismail, where was his other son, Ishaq? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, where was Ibrahim alayhi salam from? He was from modern day Iraq. So in that particular region, that's where he was. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually instructed him to go to the land of the Canaanites. So he goes there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way that he instructed, as we know, Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave who? Ismail in Mecca. He asked that Ibrahim alayhi salam also leave Ishaq in Baytul Maqdis. So we see from this really starts the two Semitic people, the Arab and the Jewish or Hebrew people. And in relation to Ismail alayhi salam, he marries into Jurhum, and these are known as the Adnani Arab. And these essentially, this is essentially the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these are the Adnani Arab. So these Arab, this particular group of them, because there's another group called the Qahtani Arab, but this group is essentially the lineage of the Prophet ﷺ, going all the way back to Ismail. Now when we go and we flip the page and we go to the other side of Ishaq, who is the son of Ishaq? Ya'qub alayhi salam. And who is the son of Ya'qub alayhi salam? Yusuf alayhi salam. And in fact, in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he tells us, he says, Al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem. This hadith is in Bukhari. And then he mentions who this is. The honorable, son of the honorable, son of the honorable, son of the honorable. And the Prophet ﷺ, he goes on to say, that who is this? Yusuf ibn Ya'qub ibn Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. So this is the essentially backdrop, which is important for the land of who? Of Palestine. Okay, so now going into this area, what happens? Ibrahim alayhi salam, he has Ishaq, and they're now both living in this region called Canaan. And then he has thereafter Ya'qub alayhi salam. And now we know in the famous story, which is mentioned in the Quran, the surah's title after it, what is it? Surah Yusuf. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses that Yusuf alayhi salam, we all know the story, but at the very end of the story, what happens to Yusuf alayhi salam? He becomes the king of where? Of Egypt. He becomes the king of Egypt. But Yaqub alayhi salam and the brothers, the 11 brothers, they were actually in fact living in Canaan, which is the old name for what we now refer to as Palestine. So they were in that area. And then what happens is that Yaqub alayhi salam becomes the king of, or rather Yusuf alayhi salam becomes the king of Egypt. And this is essentially where the line of Bani Israel starts. Because who is Israel? Who is Israel? It's Yaqub. So Bani Israel is the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam. So this refers to basically all of the 12 brothers would also be included in this category. So this is basically again how Bani Israel started and they ended up in Egypt. So now while they are in Egypt in this particular time frame, you could say that this was around, in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam was around 2000 BC. So 2000 years before Isa alayhi salam came. So now they are in Egypt. And Bani Israel rules for a number of years. And there is some wars which take place in other civilizations. Thereafter take rulership and things like that. But the leader of Egypt, whoever the leader was called Fir'aun. In the same way, whoever the leader of Abyssinia was called An-Najashi. And the same way, the leader of certain other areas will call Qaisar and these sorts of names. These are titles. So the name Fir'aun is not actually his name. Fir'aun is actually a title. So Bani Israel was ruling in that area. And then something happened in which other people took charge of the leadership. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now we see in the Quran, the story begins of Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel. Some of the historians, they mention, and this is relevant when we get into the tafsir of Surah Al-Isra, which we'll get to inshallah very shortly as well, that Bani Israel, they ruled for a number of years, a couple centuries. And after a while, they started to become tyrannical in their rulership. This is very important, especially as we connect it to today's time. They became tyrannical in their rulership. They started to charge interest because according to the religion, if you are a Jew to a Jew, then you can't charge interest. But they can charge people outside of their faith tradition. So that's a type of oppression. They started to murder. They started to involve themselves in other sins. And according to some of the Mufassirun, they mention that because of this sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon Bani Israel, Fir'aun. So they were people with power. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they had that power and they abused it and became oppressors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them, Fir'aun. So now this is important. Now when it comes to Fir'aun, as we know in the Quran, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives Bani Israel another chance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Bani Israel another chance through Musa alayhi salam. We all know the story, the famous one, in which it's mentioned Fir'aun had a dream. And the dream contained fire. He went to a dream interpreter. And this was a symbol that someone is going to come and basically your kingdom is going to be dissolved on account of him. So he decided to, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَذْنَجَيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. So we know this story in which it's mentioned that Fir'aun, he would kill the male children. And eventually the people, they said that we need children to work, so we can't be killing off all of the male children. So they decided 1 year will allow them to live and not 1 year will kill them. So Harun, the brother of Musa, was born in 1 year. And in the year in which the babies were to be killed, Musa alayhi salam was born. And we all know the story. Beyond that, this is a famous, well-known incident. But the point being for this, for the relevance of here, is that eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that Musa alayhi salam leads Bani Israel, who are the children of Yaqub, out of Egypt back into the promised land or the original land of their forefather Yaqub alayhi salam. So we all know the story with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that basically the Bani Israel are at the Red Sea and they say, Inna la mudrakun, it's over for us. And Musa alayhi salam, he says, كلا إن معي ربي سيهدين, and the ocean or the Red Sea is split, and now they move out of Egypt into where? No, not yet. So if you look at the map, when you have Egypt, they actually moved into the Sinai desert. They moved into the Sinai desert. And actually this is mentioned in the Quran. So this is the same area in which they're trying to push the people of Gaza into. So they move into the Sinai desert. And now when they're there, at this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mentions in the Quran that he tells them, يَا قُومِ ادْخُلُوا أَرْضُ الْمُقَدَّسَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. O people, Musa alayhi salam is telling his people, move to the blessed lands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. And the people, they refuse by saying, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ وَإِنَّا لَنَدْخُلَهَا حَتَّى يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا فَإِنَّا دَاخِلُونَ. So they say that we don't want to go into the blessed lands because in there are people with a lot of strength, people that are jabbar, people that are powerful. And the Mufassirun, they mention that these are the Amaliq, the Amalekites. And by the way, if anybody heard that statement from Netanyahu, the terrorist, and he compared the Palestinians to Amalek, this is the exact same Amalekites that's being referred to here. So those people, they lived in that area. And Bani Israel, they refused to go in. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, قَالُوا رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا أُدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابِ. So this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there were two people from them, Yusha' bin Nun, this is one of them. So now we have another prophet. So this is Yusha' bin Nun, or called also in English, Joshua. So if you heard the name Joshua, this is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here. And Joshua, he's not mentioned, or Yusha', he's not mentioned in the Quran, but he is mentioned in the Hadith. And he's specifically mentioned in the Hadith of Khidr. And he's mentioned in that Hadith as being the associate of Musa. You could say his helper. And he became a prophet after Musa alayhi salam passed away. So he was telling the people to go in. And then the people thereafter, they reply. And again, this is mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah in the first few pages, first few ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people, they say, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى إِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا أَبَدًا مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا فَاذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبَّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. So they tell Musa alayhi salam that we're never going to go in there. We're scared. And then they say that you, Musa alayhi salam, go with your Lord and fight them. We're going to sit here and just stay here. We're going to remain here sitting. And now this tells us something else as well, is that as we see later on in the story, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions actually to the Muslimin. He says, إِذَا تَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ صَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِعُ حَتَّى تَرْجُعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us this. He says that if people are to leave jihad, fighting when it's ordained for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they leave it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will disgrace you until you return back to your religion. So here we see as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing them to fight the Amaliq, and they refused. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this, he tells them something else, and this is the eventual end of Musa alayhi salam's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says here, قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that after this point, the blessed lands became, you could say, haram for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ. Now they are wandering aimlessly in the Sinai desert for 40 years. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made this as a punishment for them because of the fact that they refused to go in and fight the Qawm Jabbar. So again, now we're getting into the story of Yusha bin Nun. So when Musa alayhi salam passes away, Yusha becomes the next prophet of Bani Israel. And then Bani Israel, they agree at this point, and they go in and they fight with the Amaliq, and they enter into Jerusalem. So this is basically the beginning of them now re-entering into the Holy Land. So now they are there. And then also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran, he says, وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ. The people, they say, قَالُوا لَا تَوَقَتَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. The story of Dawood alayhi salam and Jalut. So we have here also, فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ. Who's Talut? In the Old and New Testament, he's referred to as Saul. So Saul is a person who's basically the one who's fighting the army of Jalut. And Jalut is from, again, these giant people called the Amalek, or the Amalekites. So here we have the battle, the famous one between Dawood alayhi salam and Jalut. And this also takes place after Yusha also fought them. When this happens, at this point, then Dawood alayhi salam, he becomes the first prophet and king at the same time. He's the first one who's both a prophet and a king. And then his son is who? Sulaiman alayhi salam. And then Sulaiman alayhi salam becomes the next king and prophet of Bani Israel. And at this point, they construct the first temple. They construct the first temple. And now they rule for around 400 years. And at the end of this 400 years, again we see they were oppressed by Fir'aun now. Right? And now Bani Israel, they're saved and they get power. Now when they get power, then they are good for a while and they become corrupt over time. And in fact, even in the Talmud itself, there's a spiritual reason, or a, you could say, spiritual justification that even they believe in. That the reason why they believe the first temple was destroyed, because it was destroyed, and now we're going to Surah Al-Isra. The first temple was destroyed. And they mention actually in the Talmud why this happened is because they became corrupt and they became murderous and they became oppressive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, this is the first time where Bani Israel truly had a lot of power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, in the beautiful ayat that our brother, sorry, what was your name again? Our Hafiz, or soon to be Hafiz? Affan, he recited for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in these verses, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. We have decreed for Bani Israel that they will cause corruption in the land twice and they will be extremely arrogant. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا. When the first promise comes, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا. We will send upon them one of our servants. And here, Abd does not refer to a Muslim, but rather a tyrannical person. And the Mufassirun, they say that this man was a person by the name of Bukht Nasr. His name was Bukht Nasr, and he came around 600 years before Isa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ. He had a lot of power. أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. And he went into the innermost parts of their homes and destroyed everything. And now what's interesting is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in relation to the first promise, وَكَانَ وَعَدًا مَفْعُولًا. This is done and over with. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what's the next ayah? كَانَ وَعَدًا مَفْعُولًا ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمَ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he gave them another chance, as he did previously. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمَ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ. He gave them money, وَبَنِينَ, and children. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And he gave them a lot of power and they were a lot in number. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing what they're going to do with this. So this is again in Surah Al-Isra. Now when we go into the sequence, again just to cut it short because we're running out of time here. Basically what happens is that there's also, they reconstruct the temple because there are some people. Basically, Bukht Nasr is Babylonian, and some Persian, now the Persians now fight the Babylonians after they're only there for a short time. And the Persians allow the people of Bani Israel to rebuild. So they allow them to rebuild the temple a little bit, and they get some power, but it's not at the level they once had. They get some power, but it's not at the same level that they once had. Then in the year 70 AD, this after Isa alayhi salam, then they are all basically kicked out of Baytul Maqdis or Jerusalem. They're kicked out and exiled. Many of them, they find themselves, when they're looking at the scripture and seeing where the next prophet would be, many of them, like Banu Qurayza, Banu Qaynuqa', and Banu Nadir, find themselves in Madinatul Munawwara. So some of them, they went there. Others, they went to Russia. Others, they went to Europe and all over. They were scattered when they were exiled in that second instance. So this is, again, skipping a few years until after Isa alayhi salam. What's interesting, however, is that the Mufassirun, they used to consider, and this is the classical interpretation, that the second promise, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will get power twice and they will be extremely arrogant. The first time they had a lot of power with Sulaiman alayhi salam. The second time they had some power, but not a lot. This was when they were under the Persians. They never regained that same level. But what's very interesting is now in current day, they have more power than they ever did. And that's why many of the Mufassirun of the modern day, Sheikh Al-Dadu being one of them, Hafizullah, if people who know who he is, and there's many others as well. They say that the second promise is in today's current time, when they were given a lot of power, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they will become corrupt in this instance. Now we see again, now when we're fast forwarding to today's time, and we'll conclude with this, what happened with them? They were people that in World War II, what happened to them? Bani Israel. They were oppressed by Hitler, and he sought to exterminate them. They were an oppressed people, as they once were under Fir'aun. And now Allah is giving them another chance. And that's why he says, in ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum. If you do good, it's for yourself. Wa in asatum falaha. And if you bad, do bad, then again, that's against you as well. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ. When the second promise comes, لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. Your faces will frown. Your faces will scowl. Your faces will sour. وَلِيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدِ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. And they, the people here is not mentioned, but you can understand what it is from the next part. And they will enter. And again, Allah SWT is talking in the future tense. كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Just as they did in the first instance. Another people will remove them from power. And these people had once entered Jerusalem before. Now you can make a guess who this people would be. كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَلْيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْ تَتْبِيرُوا. Everything they built up will then be destroyed. And many of the modern Mufassirun, they say this is referring to the Muslimin, that they will enter it as they once did under the command of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So this, in a nutshell, again, there's a lot of details to this that we had to brush over, but again, not to make it too long, is essentially the story of Bani Israel before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, starting from, you could say, Nuh alayhi salam, his son Sam, and then thereafter Ibrahim alayhi salam was a descendant of him, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam's children, they split, as we have mentioned, and then going into Israel, who was Yaqub alayhi salam, and then Musa alayhi salam. We sort of skipped over, again, we don't have time to cover this in detail, the story of Isa alayhi salam, which is also interesting because he also follows in this line. And this is essentially, you could say, Baytul Maqdis, Al-Ardul Muqaddasa, the honored land, the land of Al-Mahshar, the land of Al-Manshar, the land in which the people will be gathered, as some ahadith mentioned, on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. This is where everything will happen in this particular area. This is essentially a nutshell of this blessed land. Masjid Al-Aqsa Alladhi Barakna Hawla, the furthest mosque that is blessed, and everything around it is blessed as well, including the place of Gaza, as many other ahadith mentioned. I will stop here, and inshallah we'll continue with our next speaker, discussing as we go further along in the timeline of Al-Quds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again make this beneficial for all of us, and we hope that this was useful in having some semblance or idea of why this land is honored, the land of the Prophets. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.